You're listening to audio from the St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com. Christmas, everybody. We are glad that you are here. My name's Brian Ebel. I'm one of the pastors on staff. It is a joy to have you here on our campus. If you're a guest, welcome. So glad you're here. We've been digging into joy throughout this Christmas season, and it reminded me of a survey that happened 30 years ago by Time Magazine about angels. And people were asked, do you believe in angels? Do you believe that angels are interacting in the world, interacting in your life, this kind of thing? 70% of people in 1993 said yes. And you say, well, that's a long time ago, Brian. Thank you a whole lot. Well, they did another survey, PBS this time, same kind of survey. 30 years later, guess what the amount was? Same thing, 70%. Lots of people have guardian angel kind of stories. They've been saved from sure death on the highway. It feels like that all the time on New Circle Road. Had to sneak that one in for all of you regulars. Sometimes people will say, I went camping. We were spared from mountain lions, from trees falling on us, needed guardian angels, motorcycles, all kinds of stuff. I had someone the other day, I was at a gas station right next to a store, a market kind of store, and somebody walked up and said, I can't get home. I'm out of money for gas. And I thought, well, that's a reason to help, right? So, all right, great, good deal. Here's $20. And this person said, you are my guardian angel. And I said, wait a minute, let's not go that far. Especially because 5 minutes later, I watched as they walked out with a fifth of whiskey. I went, oh my goodness, what is it that I just did? You know, we have guardian angel stories all over the place. I bet if you look back at your life, you would say that there is some moment where you felt what we might call divine transcendence, that heaven broke into the world, protected you, provided for you, kept you from a bad situation. You showed up just at the right place at the right time. Maybe you saved a relationship. Maybe you saved a marriage. We've all felt that moment where something bigger than us, maybe someone bigger than us, broke into our lives. Now, sometimes we lose that joy, we lose that feeling because of the difficult circumstances in life that we face, yes? We prayed for a miracle and it didn't come to pass. We wanted something good to happen and instead we got something bad that happened. We prayed for a loved one to be healed. We prayed that the breakup would be put back together. Maybe it's a thing that you've struggled with your whole life long, but the help didn't come. And in those moments, people lose joy. They lose joy because there wasn't that transcendent moment that they were expecting. And people can only do this for so long before sometimes they struggle with faith altogether. And that's when folks talk to me and they say, Brian, here's the deal. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people. Ever wondered that? Why do bad things happen to good people? And usually what I respond with is this. Actually, that one's an easy one. And they look at me like, what are you talking about? That's an easy one. The more difficult one is this. Why does God intervene in some circumstances and in others he doesn't? Yes? Why did one person get the miracle and I didn't? Now that's a challenge. Mary and Joseph, the cool part about their story is they started with a guardian angel. In fact, if you go back into Luke's gospel, the first chapter, there's an angel, it seems like, popping up all over the place. The angel Gabriel comes along and says to Mary, here's the deal, you're going to have a baby, and the Holy Spirit has conceived this child in you. And Mary said, absolutely, that clears everything up for me. Thank you very much. And Joseph had in mind, we read in Matthew's gospel, to quietly divorce her. But the angel Gabriel goes and visits him, and says, here's the deal, Joseph. Mary's not telling you a fib. The Holy Spirit has conceived a child in here, and here's the deal. You're going to raise the Son of God. And as a dad, I got to tell you what, that's a little bit of pressure. Are you with me, dads? I'm going to raise the Son of God. So they must have felt like, oh man, we're in the middle of God's plan. We've got protection, anything that we need. This is all going to work out. We have lots of questions along the way, but Gabriel's on our side. And then all of a sudden, the angel goes quiet. In fact, we're told that a census is called by Caesar Augustus, and everyone is required to register in their own hometown. Well, why was there a census? Well, it's very, very simple. The birth rate was declining in the Roman Empire. So I'm an ex-accountant. Let me do a little bit of accounting with you. If when guys, soldiers, come home from war, if they don't get married and they don't have children, it means that you have less tax base, less soldiers, less empire. Are you with me? So how do you incentivize people to do this? You give them a tax break. And if you're a Roman citizen, it was going to work out great for you. You were going to get a tax break. But if you're Mary and Joseph, this is a terrible deal. In fact, you're going to travel 80 to 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem to pay a tax bill that you can't afford. How many people can't wait for April 15th to come around next year? Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it was. They traveled 80 to 90 miles from Nazareth to this little town of Bethlehem to register for the census to pay a tax bill they couldn't afford. And when they got there, we're told that there is no room for them in the inn. That's a bummer. Now, it could have been as simple as because everybody's coming to town, there really are no rooms in the inn. But I wonder if it's possible. Mary and Joseph, they had relatives in Bethlehem. That's their hometown. They would have had extended family there. When they show up and Mary's pregnant in the last trimester of her pregnancy and nobody's been invited to a wedding, would it have been surprising that people would have had no room for them in an inn? Maybe not. And so we're told that Jesus is born kind of out back. And we have all these great little manger scenes, you know what I'm talking about? We've got a few of them at our house, and little stables, posh straw. It looks like it's all been designed by, you know, perfect craftsmen, this kind of, he was born in a cave. Jesus was born in a cave. In fact, we know that the cave existed because around 50 years after the time of Jesus' death and resurrection, Mary was reported by her relatives to have visited the cave. In fact, 100 years later on, there's an emperor named Hadrian, who tries to destroy the cave and build a shrine on the top of the cave to the Roman god Adonis, who's the god of death and rebirth. That's not by any coincidence, is it? So we have a really good idea that Jesus was born there. And when I look at the first 7 verses of the Christmas story, you know what it sounds like? A train wreck. Are you with me? I mean, nothing seems to have gone right. Does it ever feel like when you need a guardian angel, life throws you a throat punch instead? Have you been there? You're expecting this beautiful moment. God's going to break in. I've said my prayers. I've gone to church. I've tried to be faithful. I've read my scriptures. And in that moment, instead of something wonderful and magical happening, it seems to go sideways on you. I bet Mary and Joseph must have felt a bit of that. For 500 years, the people waited. In fact, our choir endured reading or singing, O Come, Emmanuel, in the dark. They asked me, why do we do this every year? We can't read the words. I'm glad that you did. The reason we sing it in the dark is because that's just like Israel. They were in the dark waiting. For 500 years, Mary and Joseph, Gabriel shows up, an angel. This has got to work out. And before they know it, they're headed on a journey 80 to 90 miles to pay a tax bill they can't afford, out back in a cave. That's where their kid is born. You know, it kind of feels like a story that you're expecting a Christmas bonus, but you end up getting a certificate to the Jelly of the Month Club. Are you with me? That's how the first Christmas feels. Years ago, my wife, she planned to visit the church that I was serving around the Christmas season, we'll call it. And we were going to clean out a closet together. I'm a big romantic, if you can't tell. And she calls. I wasn't supposed to be working that day, but you know, I thought I can get some things done. So she called and said, here's the deal, Brian. I'm going to be there in about 5 minutes. I'm just down the road. Let's do this, and then we'll go out to dinner together. I was like, this sounds really great. What a great day. And I went in the other room to do some things for, I don't know, the next 20 minutes, and I thought, I wonder where Mandy is. I get back to my desk. I'd left my cell phone there, and there's 3 calls. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem right. So I dial the number, and on the other end, there's this guy. And he said, are you Mr. Ebel? And I said, I am. He said, your wife's been in a really bad car wreck. You better get to the hospital now. We're going to take her to the emergency room. You know, in that moment, I started praying for a miracle. I imagine you've had a moment like that in your life. And the interesting thing for me is Mandy was only 10 minutes away, but it felt like 10 million miles. And in those moments where we're looking for guardian angels and Christmas magic and divine inbreaking moments where heaven invades earth, sometimes it feels like God is really far away, doesn't it? And we wonder, what's going to happen next? How is this all going to work out? Why, God, did you allow this to happen? And we pray and we ask for help. And really what we're trying to pray for is, God, just hold our hand. Just let me know it's going to be okay. What if the struggles we have, brothers and sisters, in not seeing God at work exist because of our limitations that we place on God, or the expectations we have about what God will or won't do? What if we could recognize that more often than not, God is very much at work? He's just a little bit beyond our view. See, Mary and Joseph, they weren't alone. They knew that they had a great plan that God had for their lives to raise Jesus, the Son of God. Angels showed up to tell them, here's the deal. This child that's in you, it's all me. I'm at work. I'm going to change and save the world. And then God went silent. But was that really the case? Because as you pick up in the 8th verse of the Christmas story, there is this one-liner that we should go, whoa! But you don't get it, do you? And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. And you go, yeah, whatever. I mean, nobody cares about the shepherds. I mean, it's a thankless job. You ever been around sheep? They're dumb. I mean, it's a thankless job. You're out there for 30 days. It's cold. It's wet. It stinks. Like, this is not the cool part of the story, Brian. Can you move a little forward with the story? Like, let's get there. We got Christmas dinner to do. No, actually, this is the best part. Say those words with me. Same region. You don't sound very excited about it, but it's really, really exciting. Same region. In the same region, there were shepherds, the nobodies, and in that same region, with the shepherds, there's an angel who shows up and says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today is born to you a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. In the same region, that's where God's at work. And in fact, the scripture goes on to say, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, an army, quite literally, an angel army, who was nearby singing glory to God in the highest. Mary and Joseph, I think they were looking for another angel at first. The shepherds, they didn't expect much of anything. But isn't that how God breaks in unexpected ways? How often do we limit what God wants to do or what God will do because we expect God to work the way that He did or to work differently than the way that we want Him? It's almost like we stop the story too soon at verse 7 and we miss this amazing one-liner in the same region. Where's God in that, we ask. But in the same region, there's an angel sharing good news of great joy that born to you this day is a Savior who is Christ the Lord to save you from sin and death and evil. And the heavenly host, the army, is nearby protecting Mary and Joseph in ways that they can't even possibly imagine. God's very much at work, even though the work is a little bit beyond their view. One ancient historian said that the shepherds were about 1,000 steps from where Jesus was born. And in fact, if you were to go to Bethlehem today, and I've been a few times, The site from where Jesus was born to the shepherd's field is less than a mile walk. How often is it true that God's at work about a mile down the road? We just can't see it or hear it or feel it. We don't know it. How might that be true in your life? Where might God be working just beyond what you see, inviting you into his plan for your life, protecting you, guiding you, placing you in moments that will shape you for your good and for his glory? That's good news and great joy. You know, in those moments that followed after my wife's wreck years ago, I remember sitting with her in the emergency room, and she kept talking about this guy who was at the scene. This guy who held her hand as they cut her out of the car. And she said, he just kept holding my hand. I couldn't see his face, but he kept holding my hand. And there's nowhere on the accident report of a witness of a man being there. The fireman had no idea who that was, but I know who it was. And how true is that in our lives? That in the moment we need it most, God comes near to hold our hand. We go looking for guardian angels and quick resolutions to our problems. We wonder, where, God, are you at work? Will you help us? Sometimes we're like Mary and Joseph and it's the train wreck leading up to Christmas. Other times we're like the shepherds who are out in the fields expecting nothing to happen. And then what we recognize is God's less than a mile away. He's just beyond our reach. And that's why we need Christmas, friends. It's proof, absolute proof, that God already has intervened in our lives. God already is at work right where we are, with an army just beyond our reach and our view, where light breaks into darkness to give us good news of great joy. And that's what Jesus did. He solved the greatest problem there was: our need for forgiveness of sins, to have purpose and meaning in our lives, and the absolutely unshakable hope that no matter what happens, those who trust him will live life eternally with him forever. Here's the deal, brothers and sisters. Tonight, you're not here by accident. Because what we here at St. Luke believe is this: God's been working in your life to bring you to this place for this season and this time. And you might not see it, you might not feel it, you might not understand it, but here's what I know. The angel had it right. The angel didn't point to the stars, to the shepherds, or to himself. He pointed to Jesus. He's the miracle of Christmas. And he's the one you've been looking for. If you've been apart from God, or you feel that God has been apart from you, may you know this truth: that he's come near. He's nearer than you could possibly imagine. And if you felt like you've lost faith, may you know this truth: that he's come near and he wants to reveal himself to you. In just a moment, Haley's going to come and sing O Holy Night for us. It's a classic for the Christmas season. And as you hear these words, may they wash over you, and may you recognize that there is a God who loves you, who wants a relationship with you, and longs to change your life every day. And after she's done singing, we're going to stand and light our lights and sing Silent Night. And as it happens, may you invite the light of Christ into your life this day forevermore. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you are nearer than we could ever possibly imagine. You're at work sometimes just beyond our reach or our view. And we have such tight expectations of who you are and what it is that you're going to do, and what you show us through the miracle of your birth is that you intervene in ways beyond what we could ever imagine. We want a quick fix. And yet what you show in being born in Bethlehem on this night thousands of years ago is you came to fix the bigger problem, the one of sin and separation from you, the one that makes us part of your family and gives us purpose for living. The one that changes us now as we enjoy eternity with you. Be our Lord and our leader. Hear our prayer. We offer it in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.
Holy light, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared. And the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Thank you.
Over 2,000 years ago, the light of the world came into the world to be near you because he loves you. May this light be born anew in you this night, and may you take it out into the midst of a darkened world to bring that world hope. I want to encourage you to hang around a bit. We have coffee and cocoa and cookies, and you can find that either to your right, which would be towards our cafe, or towards your left, which would be in our fellowship hall. But we look forward to celebrating with you. We hope you have the most Merry Christmas. Thanks for being here tonight.